Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are learning together Mizmor Ayin Ches, the 78th Psalm in the Book of Tehillim. This is a remarkable Mizmor in many ways. It is 72 psukim long, which is the second longest Mizmor in the entire Book of Tehillim. Just a quick question, what is the longest? We'll get there soon. And this Mizmor is divided into four sections. It is also important to know that this Mizmor contains the middle pasuk in all of the Book of Tehillim, and that pasuk is pasuk Lamed Ches, which is V'hu rachum yechaper avon, v'lo yashchis v'irbol ha'shiv apov v'lo ya'ir kol chamasai, that Hashem is merciful and He atones for sin and does not destroy and ultimately replaces or retracts His anger and does not allow His wrath to come fully out. Very appropriate pasuk to be in the middle of the Tehillim, and we'll see why it is relevant to today's Tehillim. The four sections of this Mizmor are the following. The first section runs from Pasuk Aleph to Ches, and this really is essentially the mission statement of this Mizmor, which is the mitzvah to tell the wonders of Hashem, the mitzvah to talk about the incredible things that happened in Jewish history. Then we start talking about that from Psukim Tes to Lamed Tes 9 to 39. Those psukim are talking about the story from Kriyas Yamsuf all the way through the miracles in the desert, the sins of the Bnei Ephraim, the splitting of the sea, the complaints of the people about water, the anger of Hashem at His people, the manna and the slav, the punishment of those who wanted meat, and the bitterness of the desert and the punishment and the mercy of Hashem at them at the end of this. And then in Psukim Mem 2, Nunches 40 to 58, we shift into the third section, which is the plagues in Egypt and the miracles upon entering the land of Israel. And finally, we close with Nuntes to Ayin Beis 59 to 72, about the happenings in the land of Israel, the period of Shoftim, the sins of Shoftim, the destruction of the Mishkan of Shiloh, and finally, the choosing of David HaMelech and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Mizmor ends. So in terms of the themes of this Mizmor, this Mizmor covers over 500 years in Jewish history, and it is not like other Tehillim in the sense that it is not a prayer. It is really a description of the history and the Musar, the rebuke we need to learn from it. It seems that we're being told this in order to remind people the way that Hashem has led history and to learn from it, not to make the mistakes of our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. It is through this crash course in Jewish history that we have the opportunity of fixing what was done then. That's the point of it. In terms of the accomplishment of the mission, the mission that this Mizmor seems to set out for us is not just exiting Egypt and is not just getting the Torah, which isn't so much of a focal point in general. Why is that Tanakh does not seem to focus on Matan Torah so many times? But be it as it may, it is interesting that the point is not just getting out of Egypt, not just surviving in the desert and getting into the land of Israel. The ultimate, we'll call it pinnacle, is ultimately coming to build the Beis HaMikdash and having the Davidic kingdom established. And the Malbim points this out very clearly, that is the goal. That is the goal of all of Jewish history. And what is interesting is that you actually see this in Azyashir, when the Jews actually left the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. They talk about we talk about the fact that Hashem is going to consecrate a Mikdash, because this is not it. We're not there yet, even though we've survived our enemies. Similarly, in the Haggadah, when you go through the 15 steps of the Dayenu ends with that Akash Baruch Hu will create a Mikdash to atone for our sins. Again, the same kind of pattern we're seeing earlier. In terms of the order of our Mizmor, it should be noted that because this is a song and it is poetic, it does not go in chronological order. So that means to say, the Makos in Egypt will be discussed first. First we discuss the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Midbar, and then we go back to the Makos in Egypt, to the plagues in Egypt. It's almost as if this is moving backwards. So if you want to start off with the first thing that starts in Pasuk Tes is the Bnei Ephraim. Many of the Mepharshim understand this refers to the northern kingdom of Israel, where the Mishkan was originally in Shiloh. And we're moving backwards through the desert to Yetzias Mitzrayim and back out again to the land of Israel, to the destruction of Shiloh, creating a chiastic structure of the Mizmor, sort of starting at the end and moving towards the beginning and moving back out towards the end as our butterfly pattern expands. That's what we're looking at. This. It should also be noted that the Makos, even the plagues, are described in the wrong order, or in the wrong chronological order. There is a separate order to them, which many of the Mepharshim debate. It could be for the poetic effect or the themes or the connection between different Makos. It seems to leave out kinim, shchin, and choshech, the lice, the boils, and the darkness, which are the last three in each of the sets of Detzach, Adash, Ba'achav, and they're the three which do not get a warning about. Egypt does not know about them until they actually happen, but some of them, Farshim, read them into some of the more untelling words in this Mizmor. But just worthwhile noting that there seems to be a different way of looking at the same events that occurred historically. There is also a selective aspect of the history over here, in the sense that, as an example, the salvations in Sefer Shoftim took well over 300 years in terms of the history of it, but there were many times that things were good. We were saved by Othniel, by Ehud, by Devorah, by Barak, by Gidon. There were many salvations that occurred. None of those are mentioned in this Mizmor, only their sins. And part of the reason is, as the Da'at Mikra points out, Rav Amos Chacham, is that it's to underscore that none of those successes were the real deal. The only time it was really the real deal was when we got to the Mikdash. That was when we got to salvation. Everything up till then was a snack along the way. The destruction of the Mishkan is also attributed to the sins of Avodah Zarah in the times of Shoftim. That isn't explicit in Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel, but it seems to be that meridian of history was not emphasized as much then, but in retrospect, this is one of the aspects which Hashem is identifying through the through this Mizmor as being one of the key elements to its destruction. And also there seems to be this movement between the destruction of the Mishkan of Shiloh being connected to the chosenness of Yehuda over the chosenness of Bnei Yosef, which is a larger theme in Tanakh as a whole. In terms of events behind this Mizmor, this whole Mizmor is about events, so it's very hard to say one specific event, but it is worthwhile noting that many of the Mepharshim suggest that this Mizmor was actually said by the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shalash Regalim. This was at a great communal gatherings to remind people about what's important, to remind people about Jewish history, and it is likely it was said by the Levium, or sang by the Levium, possibly even Asaf himself and his children, because they were Levium. In terms of places in our tefillah, in our siddur, that this appears, the Vilna Gaon notes that this is the Mizmor to be said as the Shir Shel Yom on the second day of Pesach, which obviously relates to Pesach, is very much connected to the theme of Pesach. In Pasuk Lamed Ches, V'urachum Yichaver Avon V'lo Yashchis, appears at the beginning of the Maariv service. It is also said at the funeral when burying the dead. It's said in Ulva Letzion towards the end of the Shachris prayer, and also during Tzidu Kadin, which is where one attributes justice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at a funeral as well. Pasuk Mem Tes should sound familiar to us. Hashem sends all these terrible plagues. And this is a pasuk which is the basis of the debate in the Haggadah itself between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer about how many plagues there were at Yamsuf, trying to understand the ratios over here based on this pasuk. Pasuk Samach as an example, Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh, Oyal Shikain Ba'odam, He Hashem throughout. He detracted retracted the Mishkan of Shiloh. That actually is the basis for one of the slichos called Ha'akeda Barav Ephraim Bar Yitzchak. So he used this as the basis of that slicha. In terms of words and pesukim in the spotlight, let's just give a quick moment to that very famous pasuk, the middle pasuk in all of Tehillim. But he, being merciful, forgave iniquity, would not destroy. He restrained his wrath time and time again, and did not give full vent to his fury. What is this talking about? So the Chidah points out that this pasuk is telling us a very simple key to stopping the divine wrath, and that is that it is ultimately prayer together. When we come together to pray to Hashem, that is how we avert this. And he points out that the word avon, sin, is also the same letter as the word anu, answer. So therefore he says, how do you avert sin? Is by anu, by creating a situation where you are asking Hashem together to be answered. One last thing just to focus on, this is really worthwhile noting, is the first pasuk reads as follows. Maskil Asaf, this is a maskil to Asaf, as one of the 11 Asaf Mizmorim. Hazino ami torasi hatu oznachem li'imrefi. Please listen to my Torah and tilt your ear to the words of my mouth. What does the word Torah see mean here? This is a part of Kesuvim. This is the scriptures. How is that called Torah? So the Ibn Ezra says the word Torah comes from the word teaching. The reason why what we have today, what we call Torah, is called Torah is because it's the teaching of God. So what the Mishorer is saying, what Asaf is saying, is listen to my teachings. Not Torah with a capital Taf, but Torah with a lowercase Taf, essentially. Meaning to say, my teachings, I, the Mishorer. Now he says, no. is actually the way we look at it is that as opposed to other nations, the way we view our own history is that history is a series of lessons given by God, not demonstrated on the blackboard, but demonstrated in real life. Therefore, if we want to understand Hashem's teachings, what are the teachings? What does the Torah see? What is the Torah of Hashem? History. Read it. Look at it. Understand it. Don't attribute it. Don't blame. Understand why it happened. And that's what this Mizmor is all about. How to read history. And that's the Torah of Hashem. And the Midrash says, one last perspective over here, the Midrash says is to understand the gravity given to the words of the prophets. And the Midrash says, at the beginning of this Mizmor, Shelo yomar adam, she'en ha-mizmorois Torah, ela Torah haim, av-af na-hanevi'im Torah. That to understand that there's a gravity being given to this, that these are considered just like Torah in many ways. Obviously not in the same way as mitzvahs, but this is Torah, and that's what is being attributed over here. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.